Blog Talk Radio.
Sverige och jag älskar min straightway-stam och mina systrar.
Finland.
Olen hebrealainen Suomesta ja rakastan straightway-heimoani ja siskojani.
Israel.
Ani Ivriam Israel. Ohevet et shevet straightway ve'achyotai.
Trinidad.
I am a Hebrew from Trinidad and Tobago. I love my straightway tribe and sisters.
Puerto Rico.
Soy hebrea de Puerto Rico y amo a la tribu de straightway. Y también a mis hermanas.
Philippines.
Usa ko ka Hebreo gikan sa Cebu, Philippines. Gihigugman ako ang pamilya sa straightway. Labi na ang mga igsuon ako nga babae.
Australia.
I am a Hebrew from Australia and I love my straightway tribe and sisters.
Japan.
私は日本からのヘブライ人です。私はストレイウェイ族と私の姉妹が大好きです。
Canada?
I am a Hebrew from Canada, and I love my straightway tribe and sisters.
Praise Yah, hallelujah. I'm your host tonight. Welcome to another sister. Sister Ashley here on the mic. Bless you all and greetings to everyone who has the strength and ability through the Most High Yah to hear and listen in tonight. I'm sure many of you would assume that we will talk about a feast recap, but it's not going to go that way. Hallelujah. So tonight, it's me and Mother Jennifer, and all praises to the Most High Yah for a beautiful feast. My husband called it wonderful. I heard Elder Rob say it was excellent. I heard Deacon Samuel say it was refreshing. And I'm sure many of you have the same testimony. I thank the Father for it. It will come up tonight in our speech, of course, and I want to give all praises and a few shout-outs early on. I know you've heard me long enough to give me a 10. If you hear me clear and well, thank you. For those listening to the chat room tonight, I got Grandma Barb behind me. Give a shalom or a hallelujah in the back.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Grandma Barb's with me tonight about 10 feet away. And thank you for your 10s. Let's jump to you, Mother Jennifer. Let's get a sound check.
Hallelujah. Bless you, Sister Ashley. Shalom to the daughters of Zion. Blessings to you, Granny Barb. Just want to say it's an honor and a pleasure to be here in the midst of you all. Thank you for tuning in for another episode of Block Talk Radio. I know some of you wrote in with some testimonies for the feast, and we are going another direction this week. So maybe next week we can read through those, but, you know, it's a wonderful thing to be led by the Father, and I'm so thankful that this is a show that the Father has given to Sister Ashley, and he leads her and guides her in this, and, you know, it just really is an honor that we can just obey him and just be under his obedience. So as we go forward, I pray that everybody is edified and everybody enjoys what we will speak about tonight. I pray you can hear me well. I am unable to pull up the chat, but I think you've got it pulled up, Sister Ashley, so I'll just let you be my eyes. And that's
yes,
all
ma'am.
I have.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. Mother Jennifer, it was great to see you. I want to spend just a moment giving thanks to the Most High. I had a few people on my heart, and I know I want to thank you all for writing your healing testimonies in, and a few of you who had overcoming testimonies or just something you wanted to share. Like she said, y'all willing, we'll get to them, and if anything else, we've read them, and we've rejoiced with you. So thank you for your obedience and sending them in. I wanted to say thank you to Sister Jordan and Tammy and Cheyenne and Gigi and them specifically, of course, Tia and all my land sisters from youngest to oldest for the pre-feast and now, even now, continuing in the work. I want to thank Amara, Sister Bobby, personally those two who do the things that they do behind the scenes. I wanted to thank the truck help from Kentucky East. Hallelujah. I want to thank Charmaine personally for Judas Closet and those that helped her. I wanted to thank Justice for the tea party. I heard so much raving reviews. And I wanted to thank and give a special MVP award to Sister Liz over the refrigerator truck. There wasn't a day that she was free from her sacrifice. And I heard Brother Dre say, you know, when does your service become a sacrifice? And Liz really stands out to me. She sacrificed hours and hours, day in and day out, to run the refrigerator truck for us. To communicate about the temperatures of it, to carry the hundreds of pans to the kitchen that it takes. She kept a great spirit. Tanasa raves about her heart, and now I understand Tanasa even more on a personal note. Working with Liz every day was great for me. To my AM cooks, to my PM cooks, always thankful for Koya in Nashville for their standard. To my snack workers, thank y'all so much. I can't call everybody's name, and I hope that this never gets redundant for you guys. You know we're going to have an awesome feast. We're going to talk pre-feast. Then we're going to do a show post-feast, and we're going to, you know, talk about the awesome things. I hope it never gets old. This is our tradition. You know, this is our family. This is what we do. It's going to be a part of us for the rest of our lives. Hopefully, if you're committed, 10 toes down, as they say. To all the brothers that set up the tents, you know, Josh, Brother Josh Harrison, Mike and Marshala's son, he was out, you know, late at night as a young man, under the age of 20, putting up tents, you know, and helping, walking around, trying to find those who were single that are not a part of communities that needed help, and just hearing his testimonies of being able to help and meet new people. It's beautiful to hear a young man talk the way he does, and considering all the men, you know, that have to do the packing of every community, every man, every brother that packs so we don't have to, or sets up tents so that we don't have to. I consider those that are, you know, homes that are on the land here who had to share and had to give of themselves. But at the same time, I think of those who pack and travel here and have that unity, you know, to have that tent placement and where you're going to be and how you're going to be. You know, you get briefed by the leader and the head of your community. And how you guys come and how you set up and what you consider and what you do when you leave. It's never before been the way that it has been this past year or, let's say, 3 to 4 feasts for me. And it's just my perspective. I could be very skewed or wrong, but it's clean. You know, you don't have the tents left behind hanging over the fence areas like we used to, you know, when they needed to dry out. And we just have so much work to do behind the scenes. Is there still cleanup? Of course. But you guys, at least from the sisters' perspective, y'all split up, your community split up. You knock out the facilities for us so that we can literally just come behind you and get it ready for, you know, get Tabernacle ready for Shabbat, get Chow Hall ready for Shabbat. You do so much, and I want to thank you. I want to thank you for, you know, the selflessness that each of you has to sacrifice. Straightway doesn't have us, the hub. We don't have to pack up and go anywhere, you know, and that's always in my consideration when I try to offer hospitality to the ones that Deacon allows in his home for the shower or any of their needs, because you guys are examples to us too. You know, so to the communities that donated food, time, meals, et cetera, you know, help with trash, clean up, thank y'all from the bottom of our hearts. And I'm sure that you would hear more people say the same thing I'm saying if there were more microphones tonight. But I appreciated the fellowship that I personally had. I didn't miss any of the wave offerings, you know, with Brother Vincent and Ladiah and the young men from Goshen. My highlights, of course, with Pastor Corey's 6 a.m. meetings that I've been doing for years, you know, just going up to hear what he has and what he shares from his heart. I always appreciate those. You know, I met a sister named Elise, India, and Sarah. Those are three new sisters. Just giving y'all a shout-out if you're listening tonight. You're not forgotten. And seeing some of you guys that are standing year after year, you know, all praise to the Most High Yah that some of you from communities are standing year after year. You're growing and grinding, and you're seeing a maturation of the communities or of the ministry, and things change. You know, some of you been 14 years, 11 years, 8 years. You've been here long enough to really watch things evolve over time. And so, you know, I know that you've seen afflictions. I know you've seen trials. I know you've seen the crosshairs of Yah. But I thank the Father for it. And personally, and I'll jump to you after this, Mother Jennifer, personally, I wanted to, you know, send my love to, I don't think they would ever hear the show because they're young men. But right before those young men grow up to be husbands, I do consider them and love them so much, Deacon does, as his own sons, and that would be Malik and Jaden, Carlisle, Vance, and Isaiah, Little Freeman. I love seeing Bryson, Braxton, Braden this year, Pastor Corey's sons, really growing up, his daughter. There's more, you know, there's a lot more. I got to talk to a lot of young children, just knowing that they know my name or they know my parts to the song or, you know, just knowing that they're watching, you know, it puts a lot of pressure to be holy for them, and I thank the Most High Yah. Mother Jennifer, any shout-outs or just blessings from the feast?
Yes, ma'am. I just want to really acknowledge the communities that make up the Southern Assemblies, which would be South Carolina, Alabama, Cleveland, and Straightway, Georgia. Everyone worked so hard. The sisters worked very hard with the serving team. And even for those not associated with Southern Assemblies, bless you all for your labor, and thank you all for helping us on the serving team. Thank you for being so willing to give of your time every single day, breakfast and dinner. And for the men, I can't say enough. Our brothers here were just making sure that the women had everything that they needed. They made sure that the tents were up. They made sure that everyone was warm. They were thinking ahead. They did what they could to take everything off of the sisters and everything off of Pastor Rufus, and it was just a blessing. And I want to really acknowledge security, because I am in awe of what the security team does. You know, they have a labor that really never ends. When we are in fellowship, security is on duty. When we're eating, security is on duty. When we're sleeping, security is on duty. When we're cleaning, security is on duty. It doesn't matter what we're doing. When we're gathered in the tabernacles being taught, security is always on duty. And I just want to really commend them for being so diligent in protecting the saints and being dedicated. It really does mean a lot to me, you know, as a woman, to just truly feel safe no matter where I am. And I just want to send a special shout-out to Pastor Muir. Pastor Muir, I love you dearly. And I just wanted to say that, you know, Pastor Muir's whole his whole mindset this feast was to come and just serve the saints. He wanted to just come and serve the saints, and you could hear the word going forth, and you could hear him just really teaching the young ones and the older ones, and, you know, it's just the law of kindness is always on his tongue, and he just really served the whole feast. He gave of himself. I love the purity that's in his heart. I love the love that he has for the Most High Yah. And I love his family dearly. I missed his Ishas very much. It definitely was noticed that we did not have our Mother Chris there, my sister Ajani. But I just want to say I love the house of Pastor Muir, and blessings to you all. And that's all I have, Sister Ashley.
Praise Yah. Deliverance was personally good for me. I acknowledge the Most High Yah for everything that he did to any heart that night, and I thank him that he's still tearing and striving with his people. I enjoyed Midnight Air in the sense that it was, you know, it was in open air. There was space. It was, you know, once again, just an opinion, but it was planned really well, you know, from the time that lines opened up to the time they cleared out, and just everything about it, you know, thankful to the sound guy that came and gave just a break to our laboring sound men, and I don't know all the details, I just know he played a part. But, you know, the new song is very special as well. Like Elder Rob said, you know, it was played 5011 times. We used to say 5011. You remind me of that, and I just laughed like, yes, oh, my God, that was a good memory for me. But it was played so much where you could drill those lyrics in and really, really enjoy it, and every time hit the notes with them. And I like it. I like the new song. I appreciate it to those who put it together, and also Pastor Elder, you know, Elevation, Pastor Rufus's ordination and his message was special as well. I wanted to also just share my heart when Pastor Rufus, Elder Rufus, was made a pastor. I don't know, there was a special kind of sorrow that struck my heart. There was a, you know, a sincerity. You know, I've always loved Elder and his family. And knowing firsthand, as I observe and live my life with my husband, a deacon, as well as other men of Yah and sons of Yah, knowing that the need increases for you, you know, the need in the body increases for you when you are elevated or when you have hands laid on you and you have to pour selflessly and endlessly and tirelessly into the people. But I know that the strength comes from the Father, and I know that it's an encouragement and there's a perfect balance. But knowing that he has family, he has women, he has children, you know, and he has a lot of people needing him, you know. So I thank the Father for what he's doing, and I believe that a man walks in his calling before he has hands laid on him. And obviously he's been in that role or function in order for it to bear witness to Pastor and Elder Becker. So I appreciated that ordination. Mother Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am. Sister Ashley, the house of Pastor Rufus, we truly love the house of Deacon Bell very dearly. And I remember those early years when yourself and Deacon, you know, we would be able to just fellowship so much, and y'all poured so much into us. We were like, we were very new, and we were like sponges, just really soaking it all up, and we could just stay up all night just listening to you all answer questions, and there was just really good holy fellowship. And I remember the first time when Pastor was elder, when he was elder, and he gave his, I think it was his first or second message, and I remember you looking at me, I think it was in 2013, and you said, your husband is a pastor. And I just, you know, I'm like, oh, okay. You know, I didn't say really anything because it's the type of thing that, you know, well, we'll see what Yah does. So when he became pastor, I remember going to Sister Ashley, and I said, Remember when you said this? I don't even know if you remember saying it or not, but I do remember. I do remember, and I remember his words ringing in my ears where he would say, I don't have the patience of a shepherd. I'm not Pastor Dow. You know, Yah has not given me that calling, so I don't have his patience. And I just remember him saying that, and about a month before the feast, I just remember praying to the Father and saying, Father, if you ever see fit to make this man a pastor, I ask that you would condition his heart, because he has that character. He has the patience. You know, he already has it. Just condition his heart. But I did not know that he would be ordained a pastor during Tabernacle. So it's not something that he takes lightly. It's not something that any of us in his family takes lightly. So we just want to make sure that we please Yah at the end of the day. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Speaks to the integrity of our shepherd, Pastor Dow, to knowing that he was going to ordain him and knowing that he's a friend of pastors and not even being aware. You know, the integrity of Pastor Dow being able to hold water and, you know, hold all that he knows about each of us and still maintain integrity. I appreciate that. So, hey, Goshen hits list number two. You know, I love it. And that was right after, it came out after Day of Atonement. So I didn't want, you know, the praises to not go up for the Most High Yah and for what he's doing. You know, I love the children's song. You know, I love I'm a Farmer, you know. And when I saw Pastor Muir, I said that to him too. I said, I'm a Farmer, you know. And he laughed. He was driving by. I'm like, yes, you're a Farmer. I know. You got to know the song to know what I'm talking about, but there's so many. Faith is my favorite. Nothing's replaced faith yet. But, yes, we love that in the Bell House. We just keep it on our repeat. And, yeah, I enjoyed Lions Den. I enjoyed the brothers' take on the feast days. And I actually was hearing Lions Den maybe differently than some of you, maybe the same. I don't know. But in my hearing, I was gleaning sound bites and clips for tonight, so we're going to play them. And you ready to build up on the show and the conversation tonight? Mother Jennifer, thanks again for tuning in. Is there any other shout-outs and praises you want to give?
No, ma'am. I am ready, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Hey, so I have repeated this before to you guys on the show, that I've noticed a pattern of when things get repeated, when questions get repeated, or when conversations get repeated and I personally hear it multiple times, I know that there's like a reason. And so you pay attention to the repetitiveness, and then the Holy Spirit within us will minister, you know, to our minds. And so I was asked a question multiple times throughout the feast, and I'm going to share that question, and we're going to talk about it tonight, and it's going to be our show. Now, one thing I want to start with before I share the question that was asked me, I want to say that it is okay to ask, of course the word says, foolish and unlearned questions, avoid. But it's okay to inquire, you know, the things that are in your heart, to ask, to communicate, to notice things. At the same time, there's a perfect balance, and we have talked too much, you know, as a people. And the question was, why is the show different now? Why is the Sister to Sister show different now? I was asked it multiple times, and I initially, as it was communicated throughout the feast, I didn't think anything of it. I appreciated the communication. I've always said that. I like feedback about the show. I actually don't hear from a lot of you guys. I don't get thank yous. I don't get acknowledgments. All glory goes to Yah, truly. And so if you bring an acknowledgement, if you bring a thank you, I want to hear, you know, about it. I want this show to be for the people, and I want to be in full obedience just as Mother Jennifer does. So with that said, the question was, will there be an end to this show? Why is our show different? Some asked me, and then some said that they were asked that question. Now, remember, when I was communicated to, none of them knew that somebody else asked me. Okay? So, and I didn't speak that. I didn't say that. And so, once again, it's okay to ask that. It's okay to inquire. It's okay to notice a difference or a growth or maybe for some not so good, whatever the difference is that's within them. So with just me asking that, Mother Jennifer, what's your original thoughts? What's your thoughts about that question?
My original thoughts about that question is I would want to know specifically in what way they think it's different. You know, is it different in a good way or a bad way? And what has changed? That would be my first question or my first thought, I guess, Sister Ashley. Beyond that, you know, I think that people have to understand, and we've been doing this for how many years have we been doing this, Sister Ashley?
Between 8 and 9.
Yeah. Yes. So we've been doing this for 9 years, and it's not something that is going to remain the same. Just like when you go back and you listen to the preachings of Pastor Dow, if you go back 10 years ago, the dynamic is different. It's not going to remain the same. So things are going to change. As the ministry changes, things are going to change. The message is still the same. We're still speaking the same message, but we're reaching a different audience. There may be a different type of woman that we're trying to reach than what we were trying to reach 9 years ago. So there's a lot of reasons why things change. So nothing is guaranteed to just remain the same. Sister Ashley?
Let's say if we've done it for 9 years and we've done it for 56 weeks a year, or let's even take away the six and say 50, you know, 9 years times 50, because sometimes we skip shows for the feast days, you're looking at 500 shows, you know, that me and Mother Jennifer have done, 500 shows. Why does the math matter? Because that's an experience that our listening audience doesn't have. So you're going to have growth in both her and I, and that was my first thought. But as the question stirred in me specifically today, before the show, as the question stirred in me, I wanted to answer it differently or at least communicate it differently. And you know, some might not notice any change. Some might be, you know, new. On board, been here a few years, just, you know, riding the wave. Some might not understand any change. You know, they might just enjoy the show. They might just grow with us. Some may not believe that this show is Yah's will. Some truly, I know personally, I can name names that I wouldn't. Some would want this show to end just so I would fall. Some want our show to change women, because they want topics discussed that will make a change that's convenient to them, because we all want an easier environment, you know? Maybe if we talk about this, this, and this on the show and the sisters will get it, then it'll be a little easier to live where you're at, right? Some, you know, tell me that they don't know anyone that listens to the show. Within their own, you know, lands, homes, community. They don't know anybody that listens to it. It's just them. If that's true, hallelujah. I don't pick who listens. Mother Jennifer doesn't pick who listens. 500 shows ago, we didn't. You know, I might lead the topics a lot, you know, and Mother Jennifer even gives me the credit for that, and I appreciate her humility. But at the same time, you know, all credit and glory belongs to the Father, because there is that weekly stirring, 500 shows, 500 stirrings, or maybe coming in here completely empty and having no leading and just, you know, hoping that we edify. So I first wanted to present that to the minds, and then I want to, you know, as I heard my own answer, like, if Lion's Den did not go the way that it went, I was going to go the way that it went. you know, because it's just truth. But since Wise did, Pastor Muir, and even he gave credit to, you know, conversations that he had with Pastor Rufus, their conversations, you know, stirring amongst themselves is what ignited or sparked Lion's Den. And if you caught it, you know, as I'm listening to Lion's Den, I'm saying, wow, this is all y'all, because this is my heart towards, you know, us as sisters and even for the show. For me personally, you know, let's pause on the show, talk for a second and just say, and I'm going to ask you the same question, Mother Jennifer, what is Sister Aya posted since 2015? Since 2015, okay, hallelujah. I've been personally, I've been quiet on purpose. I'm also taught by my husband, right, and I'm ministered to by my husband. So I've been quiet, I've been calm, I've been very private, I've been discreet. Okay, that's his testimony of me. So my husband doesn't stir up strife, and I don't want to. And I've been in a season of learning. Y'all have done amazing things for me, absolutely amazing things for me. Y'all has ministered to me. My flame is higher. My flame is hotter than it's ever been. My heart is more broken for the people than it's ever been. My love is greater. I understand him more. I am more selfless, but he gets all the glory. And that might not come off, you know, in my demeanor when I sit, when I walk, when I go by you. That doesn't matter, right? Because we don't have our eyes on each other. But just within myself, remember, as Mother Jennifer and I do these shows, since 2015, we are vessels, right, that are being molded by the potter. We are clay. We are being broken. And we are being, I am being endured, you know, and I know that. But Yah has done amazing things for me, and some of those things that he's done for me, if I told you, it would scare you. That's exactly what Pastor Corey said in one of his 6 a.m. meetings. If he said, if I told you what my prayer was like, it'd scare you. No, I got that testimony. If I told y'all what my prayer life was like, it would scare you. Okay? And if I told you, you might not believe me or you might not understand. So there's that love and self-control and compassion as vessels that Mother and Jennifer and I, we consider the audience. We consider the tenure that people have. That's just a, you know, English or American term for your length, your experience, right? We consider the maturity of the listeners. We consider the growth of the audience. We consider y'all's direction for the leaders. We consider what we need to come and high five and say amen to, and what we need to never speak of. And Mother Jennifer and I, we have this oneness that we don't even have to say a word to each other to know what not to say, right? We'll only talk about what we're going to speak about. That's how it's always been. There's been times where she'll say, I'm not going to say that. You know, I'll say it this way. Why? Because there's a gentleness. There's even a tone or a harshness, even a directness or forwardness as a mother that she may need to speak. So all those things are taken into account, right? So we think about what we're going to say. We think about what not to say. We think about what we're going to do or what we don't do. There was times where we played music, and I loved it. I called it fillers. I wanted those fillers. Like, I wanted that music, you know, because inside me, I'm quiet. I'm calm. I am literally reflecting on a lot of things that would, you know, that I also have to change, that I also have to do, you know, and I also have to live and go through. And I love those fillers, right? So guess what? I got a message, no more fillers. Didn't say fillers. I got a message from the top that said no more music, it's too much, right? Dang, I would have played songs. We would have come in here and just, Mother Jennifer, we would have hit the playlist. We'd hit the ghost and playlist all the way through. I knew I couldn't do that. But I'm just saying, because it's a fearful thing, you know, to come and talk to any of you all. I had pride, absolutely. I had arrogance, absolutely. I had masculinity, absolutely. But I always had Yah, you know. And Yah has molded me to be able to reach and to speak to people that he may need me to, you know, if he has a need, right? I don't make a way out of no way. to go to speak. And I'm saying these things also for Mother Jennifer, but I wanted to say that, you know, it's been a time personally for me to listen and to watch and to grow, to submit and to obey, to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, and to learn gentleness. And I want to introduce the word gentleness even to you, Mother Jennifer, but I'm pausing and I'm going to you and saying, what's the past 2, 3, 4, 5 years of your life been like? You just heard mine.
Sister Ashley, there's been a lot of growth. I will say a lot of growth in my life over the past 3, 4, 5 years. And I realize that, you know, the older I get, I realize that there's so much mercy and so much grace that is given to me on a daily basis. Even when I look back, you know, I don't look back in condemnation, but when I look back at the grace and the mercy and the compassion of Yah, then it makes me want to extend that same thing to the daughters of Zion. My goal is never to tear someone down. It's always to restore. I've watched Pastor Dow, Mother Carol, Pastor's family. I remember him always saying, you know, the goal is restoration. The goal is restoration. I've heard him say that more than once or twice. Pastor Rufus says it a lot. You know, we want restoration for the daughters of Zion. So if the goal is restoration, then I need to remember how I was restored, how the Father has given me so much mercy and so much grace and so much love. And when I think about that, it truly does make me want to extend the exact same thing. Because I have been given that much, I want to extend the same thing. Sister Ashley.
Yes, yes, that's the truth. And I, like I said, I appreciate being asked the question because you gave us a show. You know, you gave us a show. So this is most definitely not directed towards those who ask, but let Yah, you know, deal with whoever amongst us that he needs to deal with. And always, please, Father, never stop dealing with me. So that's the hallelujah general background between me and Mother Jennifer and what we have going on. I have a kingdom to strive for. And Pastor Dow does too. Pastor Dow has a kingdom to strive for, you know. And I'll reflect on that verse that says, you know, smite the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. I reflect on it because of the amount of prayer that he needs, because it is Satan's focus to do that. You know, it is Satan's focus to smite the shepherd, the one who, you know, hears or listens or speaks, the one who's out front, you know, and no, you know, we must almost even say we respect our enemy. None of us can stand to the enemy if Yah uses that enemy to crush you, to take what you have, right? To, I don't know, like Job, you know? Job got introduced to the enemy's power, and that's how I introduced the word humility, you know, because if we really, truly acknowledge what could be taken from us, the breath we live on, Yah destroyed land, physical lands in the old covenant because of sin. We haven't experienced that. Because we have our homes or our apartments or our roads or our cars. We haven't experienced a war-torn example of Yah's disdain for our rebellion. You know, he's been really, really merciful to us. And I didn't always know his mercy. Not when I started the show, not in my 20s. You know, I had a zeal and a passion for the word. And I still, you know, try to ignite that from within. But anyway, enough about myself. I want to play a clip and begin to answer what this show is, why it is what it is, through Lion's Den, honestly. I think that there's a time and a season for everything, as the word says. There's going to be a time where you're going to get corrected by women who've experienced things, and then there's a time where you're going to get encouraged, you're going to get high-fived, you're going to get hugged, you're going to get loved. You're going to get picked back up, right? We're going to share interviews. We're going to share testimonies. We're going to share tears. We're going to play the same music. We're going to celebrate the same feast. And then there's times that you're going to get, you know, the straight truth that's going to cut and hurt you. And there's nothing masculine about that. It's just the truth. This is who you should be, how you should be, and it is what it is. Line up, right? That's how I'm talked to. And so I'm going to jump to my first clip, our clip tonight. Mother Jennifer, I know. Mother Jennifer, do you get even excited about hearing the clips? Because she doesn't always know them. What say you, Mother Jennifer?
I do, Sister Ashley. I really do. And, no, I don't know. I never really know them ahead of time.
Ever.
I don't think I've known what you were going to play ahead of time. It's probably been a couple of years. But,
seriously.
Yes, I do get excited. Yes, ma'am.
On the spot, on the spot. And let me tell y'all that, too. I have enough reverence for Mother Jennifer and her lot and her life that I shouldn't have to bombard her with that. I trust that the Father is going to give her what to say the moment that she hears something, because I know how he works amongst us here, you know, on the land or with any myself, the women who are my examples. When you're with him and he's with you, then you have an answer, you know, according to the faith that lies within you. So I just, literally, it's truly not to disturb her. But I remember however many years ago, I felt like I needed to really connect with Mother Jennifer through the phone. Like, I'd be like, all right, Mother Jennifer, we're going to talk about this verse, okay? And then when we go from that verse, I got this clip right here, and ba-da-da-da-da. And she listened and endured it all. She probably wrote notes and whoever knows what else. And we wasted 30 minutes or more on the phone line, right, as we discussed. It wasn't a waste then. It would be a waste now because our relationship has evolved. But then we needed it. You know, we needed that, like, okay, is y'all going to do the talking through us? Because I better come with some kind of, you know, study. I'm going to fumble over my words, you know. And so we tried that. Remember that, Mama Jennifer? Just laugh, right?
I remember. Yes, ma'am. I do remember those days.
Hallelujah. And she'd try to, you know, reach me, call me in the dining hall or whatever and connect with me. But, hey, let's jump to Lion's Den. This is just the truth, all right? This is just a flat-out truth. I'm like, Father, you are trying to save my soul. And, yeah, His kindness to me as a wicked one has been never failing. And I appreciate the verses. So tonight, when we play these Lion's Den clips, this was from 10/11/2023. So October 11th, 2023, was just, you know, whatever, 24, 30-something hours ago. 22 hours ago it was posted, it says. Is that right? Yeah, okay. That doesn't seem right, but it is. He was coming from Luke 6 and Deuteronomy 15. So, and Exodus 33. So I'm just sharing that early. Luke 6, Deuteronomy 15, Exodus 33. Because when I piece this together, we're not really going to talk about the verses so much. So when you hear Deacon Samuel reading, that's where he's pulling from. So let's go to verse 1. About 39 minutes in. Make sure my volume's up. Now give me some sound checks. Here we go. We're going to talk about a behavior expectation. Honestly, he's dealing with, and he's going to talk about the behavior that men should have towards sisters and towards women, but we're going to bring it back, okay? We're going to talk about how we should have this same behavior towards daughters of Yah, towards women of Yah, okay? So here we go.
Rather love your enemies and do good, and lend expecting none in return. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the thankless and wicked ones. Therefore, be compassionate, as your Father also is compassionate.
Be compassionate, as your Father also is compassionate. And this thing, man, is already on my mind, and then my elder texted me this morning. I said, look at this here. Compassion, 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 having compassion for each other. This is extremely key. Pastor Rufus spoke about this a lot during his message. And I'm going to touch on it here briefly again to the men. Okay? And what's been hitting me is the compassion of us towards the daughters, man. Towards our wives, towards our sisters, knowing that they are the weaker vessel, as he spoke about. And what keeps hitting me is, how is Yah compassionate to you? Do you show that same compassion to them? Now, let's get this right. I'm not saying that they're being wicked and they need to be corrected. I'm not saying that they're being rebellious and being disobedient and they need to be corrected, need to be rebuked. Okay? Because even that is love. Even that is compassion that you're showing. Okay? But I think what happens a lot of times, even among in this ministry amongst, is we see this, the way that Pastor Dow preaches and he walks, right? And they have, and if you're not truly hearing, that's why I said earlier in this, he's speaking to them who are hearing. If you're not truly hearing, if you're not truly watching, you can come out of this world being pressed down, beat down, tore up as a man. Then all of a sudden you come to this ministry and you realize, whoa, wait a minute, I am the prize. It started hitting you. But what can happen and what Satan will do with that is then he'll turn that around to have you walking high-minded, have you walking with your chest out, have you walking with no compassion, especially towards the daughter, because you realize the roles reversed when you come here because they're putting in proper order.
That's a good clip, Brother Jennifer. What's on your mind?
That's a very good clip, Sister Ashley. And I just want to really say that I recognize the balance that our shepherds have when it comes to the correction. You know, when it comes to the daughters of Zion, there is such a great balance. They understand true love. They understand what the daughters of Zion need. They understand when the daughters of Zion need to be spoken to in a very firm way. They understand what needs to be said at different times. And women don't always possess that. Women don't always have that. And I've noticed that women, I'm not going to say all women, but a lot of women can tend to be unmerciful. And when I hear our shepherds speak, I don't hear the lack of mercy. I hear love. And this is exactly what Pastor Muir is talking about. You know, if you're not careful, you will think that as a woman, you will hear Pastor Dow correcting someone. You will hear him addressing a situation. And you will think that you're in the same position as he is, and you're not. And you will go around and you'll actually shun someone. And you'll think that you're doing the same thing that our shepherds are doing, but you're really not. And this is why women cannot lead. So I just really wanted to commend our shepherds for the balance that they have when it comes to just loving the daughters of Zion and knowing exactly what's needed at any time. Sister Ashley?
Do you know how the Most High Yah's compassion, daughters, listeners, do you know how the Most High Yah's compassion is manifest in your life? Where is it? You know? That's some of the questions that I would ask myself when, check this out, when you don't feel it. Because coming out of the world, your feelings are 100. Hey, everything you hear gives you a feeling. And so you got to find his compassion in your life to be able to flip it and walk in it and function it and give it to somebody else. And that takes some time. Now, do you also know, I'm taking this clip that I just listened, I'm taking what Pastor just said to me, and I'm going, do I know how weak my sisters are? He said, do you know how weak, you know, your women are? He's asking it towards the brothers, right? I'm going, do I know how weak they are in their minds that they would even be so weak to hear against me? Just as I would be so weak to hear what I hear from my accuser, right? And so do you know how weak we are? Does it help you? You know, produce compassion. Maybe she's bound in her hearing in a completely different way than you are. Maybe she's, you know, my classroom does it, the children do it by nature. You know, they just can't believe that something was done to them. But they don't ever see what they did. You know, it's that nature that just evolves into who we are. Pastor is the way that he is in front of us. that many strive to be. They will always do that. Mother has used this term since I've known her, since, gosh, 2007, 8, 9. All seek the favor of a king. Now, he's a king to her. So don't catch an offense for anyone listening out there who don't understand our function and our love for each other as a tribal family. I'm not saying Pastor Dow is king, whoa, right? But I wouldn't have no problem calling him that. So going back to Mother Carol saying all seek his favor, right? For everyone who seeks his favor, that means they would try to also produce women, would try to produce something to catch his attention, try to get his ear, try to get noticed. You know, Pastor Rufus talked about that too. He's like, so what? Elder Kabir doing a show and don't see you. You know, so what, Pastor Corey at the gym and don't see you. Do y'all know Yah is with you? That's what he said on Sab's message. So pastor's compassionate and humble side, most don't manifest. Somehow we just attract that tone and that strength, and we come in a spirit, and we manifest him as a man of Yah. And now, mind you, he's not going to let anyone else's behavioral issues deter him from crying loud and sparing not. But I can't imagine having to plow hard through the minds of how we all hear. You know, he definitely has to trust the Father to give the increase. But when we come out of the world, like Pastor Mir said, we come out of the world and we say, whoa, wait a minute. Do we say she needs to fix herself? Like she just got here. She need to get it together? Or she just moved to the community? She need to fix herself? Like now, when nobody said that to you? And so that's the high-minded chest out. That's what Pastor Mir is talking about. We can walk high-minded and chest out when we have a belief that we should be functioning a certain way. If pastor's dealing with the sisters on washing dishes, I'm not walking around high-minded with his same attitude. I'm not running around, and I might assist the kitchen. I might lead the kitchen from time to time. I live here. I know it's hard. I'm not running around with my chest out high-minded, believing we all need to just jump in a masculine role and start marching, washing the dishes, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. No, there's an honor and a submission to his desires that we need to all move in, period. That's not in question. But don't jump in his role. Don't jump in his mind. Mother Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am. And, you know, I remember just coming into the faith, and I remember when we were invited to stay on the land at Straightway for 3 weeks. I remember Pastor Dow saying, you know, we want y'all to stay for 3 weeks because we want to discern you. And within that three-week period, Pastor Rufus and I, we learned a lot. We got corrected a lot. Straightway endured us a whole lot. But we learned. You know, we took what was said and we just truly learned. And those are the things that I look back on and I think about when I'm dealing with other people. And I believe if you have that approach, if you know what was given to you, you put yourself in their shoes, then you will extend that same patience, that same mercy. When a sister is getting corrected, a sister is getting rebuked, and you're present, you should take it as if you are receiving the rebuke as well. You know, because we are our sister's keeper. So we need to make sure that we're truly just looking out for one another. And that was something that early on at Straightway Georgia that we just got. We just got it early on. If somebody in the house got rebuked, then we all felt it. You know, if one part of the body hurts, we all hurt. We all felt it, and we were all make sure that we would do whatever was in our power to make sure that that sister did not get rebuked again. And I still feel that way today. If I hear someone getting rebuked, you know, it really does make my heart sink, because I'm going to try to do what I can to make sure that this sister has whatever she needs to be able to be restored and to succeed. But I take it as for me, as if I'm being talked to as well, to make sure that I'm right in that area. Father, I don't want to fail you. I don't want to be high-minded and lofty in my mind thinking that I'm not in this same category. So when I hear a correction or I hear a rebuke, I check myself as well, even though it may not directly be directed towards me, but it might be directed towards me. I hope that makes sense, Sister Ashley.
Yes, ma'am. Really pondering my next thoughts and my next statement. I've got another clip, too. You said, you know, you came to the land, you know, for Pastor to discern you, and you were here for 3 weeks. Let's say Pastor says it openly, hypothetical. Hey, you know, Pastor Rufus's family's coming to the land for 3 weeks. I'm going to discern him. You know what kind of immature eyes, looks, glares, lack of love, discerning what happened amongst the body? When a man of fervent charity is discerning, it's a completely different focus than our rejections and our mistrust when we got our eye and our suspicions on people. Isaiah 54 talks about it. I love Isaiah 54 out of the Common English Version because it says you must put the pointing of the finger away for Yah to even hear you. You know? So if Pastor's discerning, hey, praise Yah, I'm not occupying my mind with that. I don't have to have that same, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to discern him too. You know? By experience, by being shunned by the body and by never talking about it before, by experience, the shunning is unparalleled to anything that any of you have experienced or been through. Now, I'm not saying you haven't been through trials and afflictions. I'm not saying things don't hurt. I'm saying what Mother Jennifer's talking about when she says, man, we took it for ourselves. By my experience, we're not what you just spoke of, Mother Jennifer. We are not there by any stretch of imagination. Praise God to the strength that lies within us and just marches forward, and we overcome. Hallelujah. Let's go to the next clip.
Hebrews 28:98. All of his goodness, he's going to allow it to pass before him. Look at this. His beauty, his gladness, his welfare. Okay? His goodness, his joy. Now, my question is, men, do you allow your goodness to pass before your wives? Do you allow your goodness to pass before your family? Because that's what Yah does to us when we humble ourselves. Well, what about a daughter coming out of this world that has to tear down a whole lot and she begins to humble herself? Do you allow your goodness to pass before? Or is it always rah, 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 I'm the man? You see? These are things we have to ask ourselves, okay, as men.
All right, I'm going to back it up so we can ask ourselves this as sisters. Mother Jennifer posed the question that we should be hearing from in this focus as sisters, because he's talking to the men. What, in your perspective, can we say to each other to hear correctly?
To each other as women, you know, I remember Pastor Rufus saying a long time ago, he said, what do you think would be produced if all you put into something is a bunch of negative words, a bunch of negativity? So as a sister, what is it that you put into your sister? Is it just a bunch of correction, a bunch of negativity? There's never anything encouraging. You know, if you're hearing nothing but you're doing this wrong, you always do this wrong, you always do this wrong, then what do you think is going to be produced? You know, how do you think there will be growth from that? So there needs to be a balance. I'm telling you, as I listen to our men speak, I hear such a great balance, such a great level of love. But I find that as women, because of the way that we were taught in American society, the way that we were brought up, in this world, we write people off automatically. Now, in Israel, you can't physically separate yourself. Well, you could, I guess, but, you know, it's difficult to separate yourself in Israel without somebody noticing. but I find that people will automatically write someone else off in their heart, and they'll just be completely done with that person. So you might hear something that you might take as negative. It might be a correction. You might take it as a negative thing, and you'll write that sister off in your heart. And that is not for you to do. It doesn't give you the right to make a final judgment in your heart about that particular sister. So that's just truly what I think about. It's all about the balance. And when I hear the men speak, I think about such of a balance that they have. Sister Ashley?
Yes, love is patient, love is kind. Don't give up on love. Don't give up on love. When you're striving to love somebody, don't give up. That love exists. That love endures, whether it's met back to you. You know, what did the verses say previously that he had read? The Most High is kind to the wicked ones. He lends expecting none. That he's kind to thankless ones. And he's compassionate as a father. Like, that nature. Yeah, that's what I hear. And honestly, a show like this, from Pastor Mir, from Lion's Den, it goes to my top, you know, because I'm not making it into the kingdom personally without humility. I won't. I know that, and that's my goal. I don't know what your goals are, but the Father will put them before you. Your husbands will put them before you. And so when I hear this type of balance, love, explanation, tying it in with the verses and the scriptures, yes, yes, this is tangible. We can touch this. We can do this. This is it right here. This is how we need to be compassionate to another woman, another sister, another daughter that, guess what, was brought out of the world too. You know, that we need to be kind to what you consider a wicked one, that we need to lend to her expecting none in return, that we need to be kind when she's thankless. Honestly, because all that occurs, but you got to give, you know, liberty to growth. Back to the clip. We're going to hear it again from the top.
Hebrew 28:98. All of his goodness, he's going to allow it to pass before him. Look at this. His beauty, his gladness, his welfare, okay? His goodness, his joy. Now, my question is, men, do you allow your goodness to pass before your wives? Do you allow your goodness to pass before your family? Because that's what y'all does to us when we humble ourselves. Well, what about a daughter coming out of this world? It has to tear down a whole lot. And she begins to humble herself. Do you allow your goodness to pass before? Or is it always rah, 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 I'm the man? You see? These are things we have to ask ourselves, okay, as men. Okay? Keep going.
And I will proclaim the name of Yahweh before thee.
Mm-hmm.
And will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And will show mercy on whom I will show mercy.
He will be gracious to who he will be gracious, and he will show mercy to whom he decides to show mercy to. He will be compassionate towards them. So understand something, men. Are you being compassionate to one that Yah has chosen to show compassion to? Ask yourself the question. And be honest with yourself. You don't need to incriminate yourself. But ask yourself the question. Yah has chosen a daughter to come this way and has shown this daughter himself. He has shown her grace that she can begin to understand. He has shown her high levels of compassion. When you start to really deal with a sister that's coming out of this world and you meticulously going through her past, I realize there's, what do they say, different ways to skin a cat or something, that's a saying in the world. And you have people that say, hey, I don't want to know everything that you dealt with. Let's just move on. I'm not that way. Me, I want to know it all. I want to know every single thing. And the reason why I want to know every single thing is not to turn around and throw it in your face. I want to know every single thing so I know how to deal with you in deliverance. So I know how to see you and I know how to plan my attack on how to get rid of these wicked spirits, how to break these soul ties, how to clear you of these things that have been on your bloodline. I know exactly how to pinpoint and deal with those things specifically. That's why I want to know.
Mother Jennifer?
What really stands out to me, Sister Ashley, is that Yah does the choosing. And there's so many different directions that we can go with this. But let me just speak real quick in the area of polygyny. Sometimes there are women who have trouble with polygyny. And I think we fail to realize that Yah is the one who does the choosing. So if you're having trouble with a woman being added to a family, you have to remember that Yah is the one who chooses. And I remember saying this before going to Tabernacles. I looked at Pastor Rufus and I said, you know, we have the perfect family because Yah chose it. And it's like I realize that more and more each day. I would not want anyone else other than whom he has chosen. And so we have the perfect family because it's who Yah has chosen. And what Pastor Muir just got talking about, that he will be gracious and he will have mercy on who he'll have mercy and he will show compassion on whom he'll show compassion. Yah is the one who does the choosing. I even saw a sister at the feast that I had not seen in years. She had left the faith, an opportunity to come back. And I remember being so happy that she was back. And I told her, I said, it's really good to see you back. And I truly, truly meant it. I didn't look at her with a stuck-up nose, you know, thinking, oh, you should have never left. And, no, I was truly grateful that she was able to make it back because there's so many that never come back. So I was truly grateful to just see her. Yah is the one that chose her. Yah is the one that extended mercy towards her and allowed her to come back. And so I just truly wanted to extend the same mercy. I want his mercy to be in me, if that makes sense. Sister Ashley?
Makes perfect sense. Perfect, perfect sense. I'm going to go to the next clip. All right, here we go. I'll pose a question as he did. Are you equipped to deal with another woman? Are you equipped to deal with another sister? Are you equipped to love her, to endure her as you're endured? Are you equipped? You know, how easy do you give up? How easy do you want to cast someone off? You know, he says it towards the men. We pose it towards the women. How much love is going to endure through you to help someone through something, even if you're the object of her hate? Honestly. Here we go.
That's why I keep asking men. The brothers around here know this question I ask all the time. Are you equipped to deal with these daughters? I told you I'm talking to men tonight. Because this pins off of a conversation myself and Pastor Rufus had probably twice throughout the feast that was so detailed, man. And then he preached that beautiful Shabbat message again that you need to go back and listen to again. You see? Are you showing mercy and compassion, men, to one that Yah has showed mercy and compassion and has now entrusted you with? So you got to ask yourself these questions, man. This has been on my mind. Okay? Look at this. Go to Psalm 103. We've read this many times, okay? But I want you to read from verses 1 through 13.
Bless Yahweh, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless Yahweh, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Come on, all his benefits. Come on.
Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases.
Look at his compassion. He's forgetting all your lawlessness, healing all of your diseases. This is compassion and mercy, ain't it? Keep going.
Who redeemeth thy life from destruction.
Come on, man.
Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the evening. Yahweh executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed.
Come on.
He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Yahweh is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy.
Are we that way?
Come on, sir.
Ask yourself the question, are you merciful and gracious, slow to anger? Are you plenteous in mercy? Understand something. I'm not asking these questions to y'all without asking them to myself. Trust me, I've asked them to me. I pointed the finger at me. Okay? And I'll tell you that there's places in, as I'm reading this, that I need to find myself doing better in. Okay? But keep reading.
He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever.
Come on.
He has not dealt with us after our sin.
Oh, man. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. You know, that's what the world taught us. He did this. She did this. Women good at this. They can keep their anger forever.
No,
sir. It can be 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the line, and there's still a whole something that happened 4 years ago. And wait for an opportune time to, boom, bring it up. Not realizing that you're working in the same speed as the wicked one. Because the book tells you never to reproach a man that turned from his sin. You don't understand, when you go accusing the brethren, you're literally walking with Satan, because that's what he does. You see, these are things that we have to be extremely careful for. Extremely, extremely careful. And then when Yah shows you mercy in an area where you realize that you have done these things, it's time for you. Because Yah will show you mercy. And what do you feel after he shows you mercy? You feel encouraged. You feel strengthened. You're so thankful. But it's for you to take that same place where you feel strengthened and go strengthen your brother. Go strengthen your woman. Go strengthen your sister. How else will we be known as the people of Yah if we don't love one another? How else? Okay? Keep going.
He has not dealt with us after our sins, but rewarded us according to our lawlessness. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear.
Look how high his mercy is. He said, as high as the heaven is above the earth, so great is his mercy. Pop out and look up. And realize that his mercy, go, you ever been on a plane?
Yeah.
Next time you're on a plane and you look out as you above the clouds, realize that there's still room for you to look up. But look down, because that's the only way you're going to be able to look while you're on the plane. Look down and realize that God's mercy literally goes from all the way down there past where you are on the plane. Still going. Keep reading.
So great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us.
Come on.
Like as a father pitieth his children.
He does what? Pitieth. He shows mercy. He shows compassion. Keep going.
So Yah will pity them that fear him.
Uh-huh. That's it. Them that fear him. Go ahead, read 14.
For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust.
That's it. Okay, so.
Come on, man.
Do you know your woman's frame?
Come on.
Do you know her as a weaker vessel? Do you know that? And do you show her pity in that? Are you compassionate? Are you merciful? You see, you got to ask yourself these questions, because, again, people on the outside of this ministry that truly don't know, again, they'll see the many of y'all stand up and preach, and they'll only think one way, because they don't know. But, again, y'all that came from the feast, y'all saw the families of the men of Yah walking around. It's nothing better than seeing a daughter of Zion walk in such humility, walking shamefaced, as the word says, but yet confident and in power.
Mother Jennifer?
You know, he brought up a really good point about walking in agreement with Satan. And when you think about listening to the lies that the devil can just really spit in your ear, and it could be so subtle, and you just may not think that it's anything, but when you bite off of that and you are walking in agreement with Satan, you don't realize the gravity of, you know, what it could do. It may not be just for that particular moment, but you may be affected by that decision that you made to walk with Satan during that particular time. You know, there may be a consequence that may affect you a week later, a month later, a year later. It may affect someone else. And you have to remember that sometimes saying I'm sorry is not going to bring the complete healing that someone else is going to need or even that you're going to need. So we have to really be sober before we start walking in agreement with Satan. We have to really be sober in our thoughts and in our mind. And then we have to remember, what if my soul is required of me and I don't open my eyes in the morning? If I lay down tonight and I don't open my eyes on this earth in the morning, what if my soul is required of me? You know, and I think we need to think that way because it will really sober us up. That should always be in the back of our mind. Am I representing the Father in a positive way, or am I misrepresenting him right now? Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. I'm going to play the last few seconds one more time.
And walk in such humility, walking shamefaced, as the word says, but yet confident.
That got me right there, because was that you? You know, was it any of you? Was it me? Was it us that he's talking to? When the Spirit of Yah is within a man, did he walk by you and see shamefacedness, you know? And what I mean by that is that Yah would be the one that's seen. That Yah would be the one that is seen in you, you know? I attempted, tested the waters to entreat and correct a young and very beautiful daughter of Zion on the way that she was dressed, as she stood just feet away from a crowd of men. And I was just met back with, that's how half the people here dress. I haven't corrected someone on how they dress in probably 6 years. I don't say anything. Most people have fathers. Most people have husbands. I stay in my lane. I don't run around with the Holy Ghost police correcting somebody. But if you had seen this, you would have understood why I needed to entreat her. But when the Father says that you will choose this day who you will serve, then that means he puts two ways before us at all times. You wanna be seen? Oh, he gonna make sure you be seen. Enjoy it too. I actually don't mind. I'm a beautiful husband, beautiful family, striving to the kingdom. I don't mind. Your body don't bother me. Your chest, your ass, none of it matters to me. Your voice fluctuations, who you marry, who you might be, next wife, second wife, tenth wife, it doesn't shake me. Okay? But it's pretty fearful when Yah puts two ways before us. And he can walk by a woman and say, man, shamefaced, humble, but confident, you know. And he knows who they are. And then you got the other side, look at me, look at me, look at me. I want to be seen. And, you know, I've repented for that. I had a life before the faith. My life was in the limelight, wanting to be seen, obviously, wanting the trophy and the MVP, wanting the championship and wanting the ring, wanting the jersey and the shirt, wanting to be seen in a place that was Satan's game, you know? So to shed that and to come from experience, from the inside, to say, I just want you to see him in me, that's it. I didn't always have this mind. I didn't have all this experience. I didn't even have this glory going up to the Father, his glory, you know? I didn't. Hallelujah. But that stood out to me. Mother Jennifer?
I want to say, you know, to the daughters of Zion that, you know, Sister Ashley, myself, Mother Carol, Mother Chris, we don't walk around just looking for something negative to say to correct you. We truly don't. We don't desire to pick you apart. We don't desire to correct you at all, honestly. But we're obligated to the Father. If something is off or something is wrong, we're obligated to the Father to correct you so that you could be steered in the right direction. But I believe that when you are corrected, you have to understand and know that the intent of the heart of the person that is speaking to you, that is correcting you, you have to understand and know that the intent of their heart is actually pure towards Yah and pure towards you. And we only want you to walk in righteousness and holiness. It has nothing to do with anything else. Sister Ashley.
Really quickly, just touching on that, Mother Jennifer, just bringing out how much confusion is actually operating with what needs to be said to each other or how we can correct amongst each other or, you know, because it's just confusion. It's nothing like the fellowship of the brothers at this point. That doesn't mean that we won't grow, and I have a lot of hope. But if you've been very masculine, can you teach femininity? Can you teach holiness? Right? The focus is off a lot of times when you're going to correct. When you're young and you're zealous in the faith, you're thinking that you need to do this for the Father. You know, that the Father actually needs you to make this correction. Okay? And sometimes that's just quite the contrary, honestly, that you're just in the flesh. You have something that's disturbing you, bothering you, and you got to say something. That's why, you know, brotherly love can't flow. You don't say things out of the flesh. You always entreat with love. It's something that I did not have early on. I did not. So if you believe that by going to someone to correct them is going to stir your flesh, then you should hold off. You should hold back. You shouldn't say it, honestly, until you grow strong enough. And that's not a black or white because, like I said, there may be confusion now on who you can entreat, who you can go to, because right now we're all getting in order, you know. We're all, you know, you ever like, you know, blew the whistle in PE in the middle of a gymnasium of 500 children and you seen them scurry to get in line and they're like going everywhere. That's kind of like what our structure and our order is falling in line to. The end is perfection. It's beautiful. You know, you got a few people lined up already showing you, oh, that's my line. Let me go over here, you know. Got tripped over by this person, tripped on now. I'm in the back. I'm fighting my way through, but I'm going to get in line, you know. I'm going to get in line. So that's a little bit, I guess, if I can give a visual. I got two more clips. They're pretty short. Hope you enjoyed tonight's show. I hope you got something out of it. All of this came from actually Why'd Your Show Change, you know. And why? Why did all this come from that? Is because if we express any form of gentleness as women, on this show or even out and about, there's literally a wolf inside of a lot of women ready to tread and pound on that gentleness and snuff it out. It's Satan. And if you don't have gentleness, then you won't understand the expression of it. You'll wonder why the hammer ain't being swung when it's your hammer, you know, and not the Most High's. Hallelujah. So we hope to always be, if we do the next 6 months on one topic, I hope that you trust that the Father is doing it and leading it. 9 times out of 10, y'all don't know when Pastor told me what to talk about. You don't know the countless time that my husband has labored to put his mind in me. You know, my husband carries me through fires, and he is my direct example of Jesus Christ. And so you don't know the background, right? And for some of you who are new, hallelujah, thank you for holding on and riding the wave because you may not even understand the evolution of our show anyway. Let's jump to the next clip. Mother Jennifer, here we go.
For the poor shall never cease out of the land.
Come on.
Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother.
Open your hand wide.
Come on.
Unto your brother. See, these are things that we all need to evaluate in ourselves. Okay? Because a lot of times when folk read this, they think monetary things, they think money, you know. But what about your time? That's something that's extremely valuable. Do you open your hand wide with your time? Do you open your hand wide with your service, something that you may be really, really skilled in? Do you open your hand wide to your brother for it, to your sister for it? You see, these are things that we really, truly need to evaluate ourselves in, because I'm telling you, this is what we need to really, really be working on within ourselves throughout this dead season, because it all points back to one thing. It points back to love. It points back to the conduct and the way that we're supposed to act as Israel. It points back to how we're supposed to be as a people, so that them of the nations can see us and be like, wait a minute, they're different. Yah has to be with them people. You see? This is what this thing is about.
Hallelujah. That's encouraging. The last two clips, that one and the next one, are very encouraging. Mother Jennifer, would you like to say anything?
We can go ahead and move on, Sister Ashley.
All right. Last clip for the night.
Two words have been sticking out to me. One, I heard Pastor Dow speak about this one night when we were fellowshipping.
Remember these two words.
But two things have stuck out to me. We're going to go through a number of passages in Scripture. But compassion and humility.
Compassion and humility.
You know, we gave direction on how to go into the dead season, okay? And we all know that we want Yah to continue to bless us. But we know that Yah, literally, he will give grace to those who are humble, to those who are meek, to those who are lowly. And this has been, you know, on my mind. And I say, you know, I'm going to speak about this tonight, because this is one way that will preserve us throughout this dead season. And then we can go into Passover, and we can go into Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, we can go into that feast right and correct, expecting even more from Yah, and continue to get better and better and better as the years go.
Hallelujah. Continue to get better and better and better as the years go. Almost forgot. I got a few short verses to read. Do you want to add something briefly to that encouragement, Mother Jennifer?
You know, I believe at the beginning of the show, I can't remember who was talking about it, but I think it was Deacon Samuel that said he noticed the overall maturity in the people. And I think it's really good when we get instructions such as this, you know, as we go off into the dead season, and that's like a focus of something that we can truly focus on, and we can come out a better people. We can come out more mature. So think about the maturity of the people during this feast and where we could be if we just take heed to these words from Lion's Den, if we just take heed to these words and, you know, the level of maturity that we could reach when we get to the Passover. So it's just very good instructions to have. Sister Ashley?
Hey, really, really quickly, I want to share with you one verse, times four. Okay, first one's from Esther, chapter 14. This is out of the Apocrypha. It said that the Most High changed the spirit of the king into mildness. Okay, the reason I'm reading this one really quickly is because he thought a certain way. He was a certain way towards Esther, right? And the reason I'm thinking of his change is what Pastor Muir is even talking about, how a man is actually able to really, you know, manifest that gentleness towards his wife, you know, with balance, of course. And so this verse says, when Yah changed the spirit of the king into mildness, who in a fear leaped up from his throne and took Esther in his arms until she came into herself and comforted her with loving words. Hallelujah. So let me jump to the next one. Loving words is what really stood out to me from, you know, his message, Pastor Muir's message. In the Wisdom of Solomon, it says that wisdom, verse 6, chapter 1, verse 6, Wisdom of Solomon, once again in the Apocrypha, says wisdom is a loving spirit. Loving spirit. A loving spirit. Not hating. Not rah, rah, rah. Not everything negative. You know, what did this gentleness to me? Why do I strive so hard for gentleness? What did it to me? All glory to the Most High, but children. And more specifically, young daughters. There's a meekness on these young women that is unparalleled to the haughtiness that we have to shed. They have not had the road hard, rung up wet experience. And they're watching. And they're hungry. And they're loving the Father. And, you know, every show that we've done in the previous 6 months, 8 months, a year, I've considered them every time on the microphone. When we did an encouraging show, when we sent out love and we did interviews, you know, and we sent out our shout-outs. Like, I walked into my oldest son a couple years ago, crying. Hey, son, what you got going on? Why are you crying? You know? I had mom, pastor he just yells every Sabbath. Like, I don't understand. I'm just trying to be better. Wow. Man, if we could all get that, right? He hasn't yet understand. Of course, hey, this is a tone of a man, right? You're going to get out of your emotions. You're going to understand. So I'm not justifying his mindset, but I'm saying what a tender heart to say that, man, I'm really striving. You know, I feel like I'm failing him every time I hear him have to speak that way. You know, I'm like, man, if we just had that tenderness as women, right? All right, another verse says, wisdom, it's chapter 7 of Wisdom of Solomon in the Apocrypha. Wisdom is the worker of all things that taught me. For in her is an understanding spirit, holy, one only, manifold, subtle, lively, clear, undefiled, plain, not subject to hurt, loving the thing that is good, quick, which cannot be letted, ready to do good. Wisdom is ready to do good. It also says wisdom is kind to man, steadfast, sure, free from care, having all power, overseeing all things, going through all understanding, pure and most subtle. Wisdom is kind to man. All right, two more real quick. Ecclesiastes 26 says, she will open, hold on a second, the grace of a wife delights her husband. Y'all read it before, right? Grace of a wife delights her husband. A silent and loving, capitalize on the word loving woman. Like, are you a loving woman? Like, what is drying your bones? What is filling you up with all this fury and anger? You know, what is filling your vessel? Are you a loving woman? You know, strive for that. It says, a silent and loving woman is a gift of the Most High, and there's nothing so much worth as her mind well instructed. A shamefaced, that's what Pastor Mir said he saw. He saw that. That's beautiful. You know, I agree with Deacon Samuel on the overall maturity. I really do. I saw that too. But a shamefaced and faithful woman is a double grace, and her mind cannot be valued. Last one is, I think it's Ecclesiastes. I'm going to flip there. Yes. A woman will receive every man. That's not a good thing. Yet, is one daughter better than another? Is a daughter better than another? Are you better than anyone else? We will say no. But you will act it as if you are. You will shun someone when they're corrected. You will turn your cheek when you disagree. You will roll your eyes. You will drop your countenance. You will hold wickedness against somebody. You can't wait to correct them when they messed up. You can't give any patience to the Father and his Ruach. If that's you, hallelujah, let the chips fall where they lay. But it says, verse 23, chapter 36 of Ecclesiastes, if there be kindness, meekness, and comfort in her tongue, then there's not a husband like hers to other men. Hallelujah. Gives us a golden strive for it. I actually had a dream I'll share really quick. It was years ago. Why I give all glory to the Father and why I strive for gentleness. I had a dream. I was running a race, and I was alone. I was running as hard as I could, and I started getting tired. And I started looking to the left or the right, and I wanted somebody with me. And I wanted somebody to run with me. I wanted somebody to coach me. I wanted somebody, I could feel it in me. Like, I wanted somebody to say, let's go, you got this, or whatever. And then I said, what am I running for? What am I running for? So I just started slowing down. As I slowed down, I started to see, like, the finish line up here. Like, wait a second, earlier I didn't see the finish line. You know? So let me pick up pace again. So, okay, start jogging. Running. I get to the finish line, and this big, huge banner goes across it, and it says, gentleness. And I heard a voice say, run hard. Others are watching. And I woke up. And that's what got me. Long time ago, that's what got me. Have I arrived? Absolutely not. Oh, my gosh. No, absolutely not, right? Coming from a woman that Elder Rufus said has masculinity in it, he told me. I mean, straight. Mother Jennifer heard him, right? So we can come from a past. We can. And we can strive for holiness. We can strive to change. Okay, I got a long way to go. I'm marching with you. I'm running with you. So let's go. Well, Jennifer, thanks for tuning in with us tonight. Thanks to everyone listening. Thanks to everyone who actually played a part by asking me about the show, because it's through those meditations that we, you know, got this show out tonight. So bless you and shalom. Mother Jennifer, once you say your goodbyes, I'm going to play a song. Go ahead.
I just want to end by saying that, you know, the word says that we should be known by our love. It says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this all men shall know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So our love is what's going to show that we actually belong to him, and it is a commandment. So blessings and shalom. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Bless y'all and shalom.
The children know his name. He shall be called.
The truth, the light, no man can set apart.